beauties, you are back with Jen and Kai for another excellent episode of Tits and Teeth. Today on the pod, I'm being outnumbered by Aussies. We have Australian-based performer and choreographer James Maxfield with us today, aka Jimmy, aka Jimothy. James has an extensive and incredible musical theater and performance resume, and he is currently the creative producer for The Voice Australia. We chat with James about his journey from theater to TV, hear a Hugh Jackman story, who doesn't want to hear that, and we learn all about what being a creative producer on The Voice entails. Can't wait to dive in with this complete legend, but before we do, let's hear the tops and tails of the week with Jen and Kai.
It's the tops and tails of the week with Jen and Kyla.
Oh my god.
Tits and tea.
Hello, Kyla.
Hello. Hello, Jen. I tried. Hello, Jen.
Kyla's doing the Australian accent, guys. Because why are you doing the Australian accent?
Because I'm outnumbered by Aussies on this freaking thing.
I'm so excited. Kai, how was your week? What are your tops and tails? Give me your life.
My week was good. My tops is that I joined the 30s club. Goodbye, 20s. Hello, 30s. Let me tell you, 30s. I'm ready. I'm ready. 20 Kyla was a mess and she was beautiful, but it's time for her to go.
Tell me about Dirty 30, Kyla. Tell me all about it.
Well, I don't know. I just got here.
You're like, a couple of days in, we're doing fine so far. Nobody's been arrested.
That's my tops. What an exciting time.
Yay. Happy birthday, Kyla. We love you. Birthday week.
Thank you, Mom. Thank you. Tails this week? I don't know. The backyard is beautiful and sometimes it rains and raining can be sad, but I'm turning this tail into a top and I like rain. I like a summer rain. You know why? It's starting to smell like spring out there. Spring and summer rain. It smells delicious. So top, bottom to a top. There we go.
Okay, Jen. Oh, that's funny. Very good. Okay, so ready? Tails. Yes. Pandemic. Done.
Babe, you need to find a new tail. I'm joking.
Well, okay. I don't know. What
no,
did I think?
I'm joking. No, okay, I love it. Keep it.
Yeah, there's a pandemic going on. I don't know if you guys are aware. But tops, honestly, is this episode. I'm so stoked that there's another Aussie on this pod. This episode came from three different parts of the world. So, You know, hopefully forgive all our technological issues, but it was just such a beautiful pleasure to connect with this dreamboat of a human. So that's our first Aussie guest.
So worth it. I'm so exciting. Tits and teeth in three countries. Who'd have thunk, girl? Who'd have thunk?
You guys. And I had to, as we were cutting this episode, there was a couple of times that I had to just snip things out. But Kyla's reaction... You guys, to me and Jim on this pod was actually priceless. So we introduced Kyla to the term pocket rocket. And for the most part, you know, like I kind of cleaned it up, but you can hear her giggle under there. And I just wanted you guys to lean into it because it brought me so much joy. Jimmy was talking about Hugh Jackman, old Wolverine.
No, Bjork Lee.
Yeah, well, that one, she's the pocket rocket.
She's the pocket rocket, sorry.
Wolverine in his undies. Just listen when that comes up. Just listen to Kyla underneath. She's just trying to hide a giggle. And I've exposed you. I'm calling you out on it. It was very good.
I'm not even mad.
It just brought me joy. Just listening to Guy being like, no way. Very good.
I love it.
I love it.
So.
Yeah, babe.
Well, what's his name? Who are we throwing it to? Oh, who's our Aussie?
Gosh. First Aussie on the pod. Let's throw it over to Jimmy Maxfield. I'm pumped. I'm stoked, as we would say down under.
Bloody legend. Welcome to Tits and Teeth. So happy to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. This is my first podcast, so I am a podcast virgin, so thanks for having me.
Well, I've been asked, because we have two Aussies with us today, I've been asked, do you think by the end of the podcast you're going to be trying your hand at the accent? And I was like, I should probably not, but you never know. Don't put it past me.
Give it a go. Give it a go. It's worth trying.
I'm so bad.
On a personal level, I'm so thrilled to have another Aussie on here, because you don't understand how much shit I get from everyone all the time for being Australian. So, Kyla, Jimmy and I, we're going to gang up on you today.
Fine. Yeah, I accept
it's a
it.
Team effort.
Thanks, babe.
It's a team effort. Aussies forever.
Aussies forever. I love that. Okay. So we are here with the wonderful Jimmy Maxfield. We are so, so thrilled to have you on. Thank you so much for being with us today.
No worries.
No worries. Such an Aussie response.
Already we're going there.
I am very, very happy. So before we get into all of the things, we're in this crazy COVID time. You are, I'm in Florida, Kai's in Toronto, you're in Australia. So fill us in, what's the feelings down there, and how you feeling at this moment in time?
At this moment in time, well, restrictions are starting to get lifted a bit over here, especially in Sydney. So a week ago, they lifted the restrictions to having, you know, 5 people over, and they've lifted the restrictions of the bars and restaurants and cafes. So you're allowed to attend them in only in groups of 10. So they're only allowed 10 people in at social distancing kind of rules still. But, you know, it's still a weird vibe in the air. Like, I think it's, you know, it's quite universal what we're feeling at the moment. Like, yeah, it's still pretty weird, but, you know, we have been pretty good. We've flattened the curve pretty well. You know, it's going to take a long time for all of us to mentally get out of this, to physically get, like, it's just all of the above. It's
literally
crazy. It's a crazy time.
You saying that people could go in cafes, I was like, what? Oh my God.
I know. Like, it only got lifted a couple of days ago, and I walked past a cafe this morning to get my coffee, and people were sitting in there, and it was just such a shocking sight. It's so weird to see.
So
like, it's just to see something social and be shocked by it is a weird feeling. Like, something so small. It's bizarre.
What a time to be alive, friends.
I mean, what a, blessed.
Blessed. But I will say, on the flip side of that, isn't it a pleasure to kind of connect? Like, how lucky are we? I have watched you for, you know, do all of your things. You and I have recently reconnected, and I'm like, Jimmy is killing the game. So I'm so glad. I know for a fact, I'm like, guess who's going to have time right now? So I'm glad that we have a moment to connect and that we've got you here today.
We always begin our interviews with, what is your favorite show and your dream role?
Such a hard question. Favorite show. I'm going to have to give you my favorite classic and my favorite modern show, because I don't think I can give you an all-around. That's way too hard. Favorite classic show would have to be Miss Saigon. Yeah, Miss Saigon, the score is classic. I mean, you can't go past Leia so long as vocals. I just think the whole concept of the show and the feeling and the vibe, I mean, if you've ever seen it, the experience of it is just so intense. And it's one of those shows that you watch that when it ends, you don't realize that it's been going for the past 2.5 hours. It feels like it's just gone in a flash. Just the story is so thick and the acting is so amazing and the libretto is so fantastic. That show. And then I'm going to be super predictable and say that, you know, my favorite modern musical at the moment is, of course, Hamilton.
Hey!
I mean, it's just such an amazing musical. I can't say enough about it. It's revolutionary in its story and in its form of musical theater. Like, it's fantastic.
Awesome. And do we get dream role in there?
We didn't.
Oh, dream role. My dream role would have to be Augie in Waitress.
That's so cute.
I mean, just, I love that comedy sidekick. It's just, you know, you only get a few scenes and you just get some, like, classic lines, some great songs.
Those are,
you
my know, favorite parts.
They're the best parts. They're the best parts.
That's all I ever like to play.
Yeah, it's a dream role and it's a dream situation to be in.
Very good. Oh my gosh. Okay, so for our listeners, Jimmy and I went to school together about 16 years ago, I would say, which ages us a touch.
Yep.
You've achieved so much success in that time. So just give us a brief rundown of a couple of career highlights over the last, 16 years or so. And then tell our audience what you're up to now.
So, well, whilst you and I were doing full-time, I was lucky enough to be cast in Grease, which ended up being my first show. That was a big moment for me because all I really wanted to do was musical theatre. Like, that was my goal. So after that, I was happy with whatever happened. So I got to do Grease. I got to work with Hugh Jackman. I got to spend 7 months on the road with him. And that was just, what a legend, an absolute legend, an Aussie icon. We love him. We love Hugh. I got to do Wicked. So I was in Wicked for 3 years as the dance captain. That was a great little highlight. And I got to play Mike Costa in A Chorus Line, which is my dream show. So while I was in full time, I used to watch Chorus Line easily twice a week. And I was just so drawn to the role of Mike. And, that was the epitome of the type of dancer that I wanted to be. That real triple threat, the one that could sing and dance and act. And just to see that completely realized was, that is dreams. Complete dreams. Mind blown. I got to tour with Kesha in Japan on her Die Young tour. And then I got to work with Taylor Swift when she was here. I performed with her at the Arias. Also Rita Ora and Guy Sebastian, who is an Australian artist. And Kelly Rowland from Destiny's Child. I got to work with her as well, which was such an amazing... I had Destiny's Child posters just stuck all over my wall. It was Britney and Destiny's Child. Oh, my God. Just the coolest time. Yeah, so... I got to do some other fantastic shows. I got to work with Dame Julie Andrews on My Fair Lady. She was my director on that, which was, to be in the room with such an icon, and she was everything that you wanted her to be. Like, just that voice and that statuesque presence. She was so kind. And yeah, sometimes you get a little bit nervous about meeting those types of people because you want to frame them in a certain light. And now I'm working on The Voice. So a couple of years ago, I kind of transferred into the creative side of the industry and kind of got more into TV. And now I'm creative producer of The Voice Australia.
No big deal.
No big deal. It's definitely a role I never thought I would do and a position I never thought I'd be in, but it just progressed and I got the opportunity and I said yes, and I had no idea, what to do originally, and now I've kind of learnt on the job and created this brand new skill set and I love it. It's so great to start using my mind and understand a different medium as well. I've done theatre for such a long time and now to understand how the TV world works is just another great skill set to have.
That's very, 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 very cool. I don't know quite what to say about your little resume there. But before we move into talking a little bit more about your creative production, we want one little story, if you have, from Bayork Lee when you were working on A Chorus Line, if you could.
Bayork Lee. I love her so much. She's exactly what you see in every little step. The fact that I got to hear her say "eat nails" in real life was once again dreams. She is a pocket rocket. She is phenomenal.
Hold on, we have to back that up. Kyla,
pocket rocket got me.
Have you never heard that expression? Is that Australian?
No.
It must be Australian.
I love it.
She is just this pint-sized ball of energy. Story-wise, the first day of rehearsals, we just got to sit in a circle and listen to her explain the conception of this show and tell all these stories of, her being in the room with Michael Bennett. And even just learning, there's a section in the show called The Four where Ricky hurts himself, and just hearing how Michael Bennett had constructed that whole thing in the room. He actually, halfway through teaching a routine, he had hurt himself, he had hurt himself, rolled his ankle, and kind of built the scene around everyone's reaction in the room. I mean, we all love some Biok Lee. She's just a legend and icon, and she was amazing.
Okay, so while we're on icons and legends, you have to give the Canadian and American audiences a Hugh Jackman story because they need to hear it. Aussie to Aussie.
Okay, well, I have two. Well, first, so the Wolverine movie had just came out. So we're all pretty obsessed that he was Wolverine. And every warm-up, he would pick one person to get to know. Because, of course, as soon as the show started, you know, he had to carry that show. And he never really had a moment with them. And he obviously wanted to connect with his cast. So he would pick one person and everyone would be waiting to see, like, who's next? Is it my turn today? And the day of my ascension into Hugh Jackman's private conversation, he was just in a robe and a pair of undies, and it was so hard to concentrate. And
Hugh Jackman in his underwear, ladies and gents, eat your heart out.
I mean, having a conversation with Hugh Jackman in his underwear, that's gold.
Career highlight.
Career highlight.
Not to take away from any of the wonderful things you've done, but hello.
Hello. And also, like, things like, you know, opening nights, he just bought every single member of that cast just some of the most amazing gifts, really just splurged on us, you know. And you know, every couple of weeks he would make sure that we all got together at the end of the week and had drinks and, you know, hired out sections of bars and made sure that we all connected, which is really nice.
Very good. Yeah, love it. Okay, so The Voice, we want to know all about it, but tell our listeners first what being a creative producer means and what exactly does that job entail?
Yep, so a creative producer, it's quite a broad, depending on the show that you work on, but for The Voice, there's myself and two other people on the creative team. And as creative producers, well, there's two creative producers and I have an artistic director. And all three of us create the concepts for each performance, and then we bring them to life on the stage. So we have to put together the lighting plots, the visuals, the set design. And on top of just doing the live performances, we also do all the behind the scenes stuff. So we help direct the coaches in what's called the overlay packages, which you see, like, after each performance, it kind of cuts to, you know, the coach on certain sets and you hear their vocal overlays and they're talking about their artists or they're talking about themselves, and we kind of direct them on these big sets and create this really cool editorial content. So there's a lot involved. And then, of course, I have to hire a lot of dancers and choirs and stuff like that, extras that we may need for performances. So there's a lot of elements involved as a creative producer, but it all kind of differs from each show that you work on. But on The Voice, it's a lot. It's a lot to put.
And before we move on from that, like, because it's lighting and it's all of the, it's a lot of different elements than what we're trained in and that what we went to school for. So how much of that is learning on the job and figuring that out on the fly for you, where you're just looking at the creative overall concept and trying to figure out what that vision is supposed to be?
For me, it was all learning on the job. So I only got into this about 4 years ago, and I came on board as a creative assistant. So I got to assist Leanne Cherney, who is now my artistic director, and I just watched her work. I watched how she created all these performances, her vocabulary. I knew nothing about lighting. I knew nothing about visuals, and I kind of just had to learn on the spot. So as I progressed over the years, I kind of just started banking this skill set, and I've gone ahead and, you know, learned how to get across my creative information to different types of departments and making them understand, because that was one of the hardest things, trying to get my creative inspiration information to technical departments and getting them to understand my vision. Because, you know, as dancers, it's all based on movement, but for them, it's all technical. It's all jargon. But yeah, it was all learning on the spot. It was all learning on the job.
How do you make sure every episode is cohesive in style? And what do you look for to give it that edge? Something that makes you want to stop and look and keeps people interested every time to come back every week?
So we really strive to have a really strong point of view. So ultimately, we really draw a lot of inspiration from like art installations and visuals, and really kind of try to be as cutting edge when it comes to technology and that type of stuff. So we like to consider ourselves more kind of, I guess, rock and roll in its element. I mean, if you think of X Factor, it's quite bright and poppy. And, you know, as soon as you turn on X Factor, you know what you're watching. But when you turn on our show, it's kind of really got that darker and moodier edge to it.
I know you said you assisted in order to end up in that position, but, you know, how did you make that leap initially from performing to going into choreography or being on the creative team? Give us some of your background on that.
So it was a couple of years ago when I was on My Fair Lady, I had injured my hip and I decided just to take a little break just to rest. And prior to that, I had worked on X Factor and Australia's Got Talent as a dancer. So I kind of had those connections already. And I'd kind of slightly assisted the Square Division on a few things. So Square Division, they are a Australian choreographic duo who I've just blown up in LA now, who, you know, put together Britney's show in Vegas, and they did Katy Perry's tour, and they're just they're just fabulous. We're so proud of them. And I got to assist them, and then also in Australia's Got Talent, I got to assist Leah Howard.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, we love Leah. So I kind of already had that vocabulary. But when I had hurt my hip, I had a chat to my agent, and she said that the artistic director of The Voice was looking for someone to be on their creative team. They had switched over their teams and they were looking for a fresh new look, which kind of came with getting a new team in. And she was asking if I was interested in going in. I was like, yep. So I went in and had a chat to them. It was a very, very casual meeting, and they just explained the vibe of the show and the look of the show and what they were trying to achieve. And I had to go away and put my own creative treatments together. So just put together some performances for them and
like
sent that through.
A live piece? Is that what you mean? Like you had to gather a bunch of dancers or a bunch of artists and choreograph it, film it and send it off? Or what was that process?
It was more putting references together. And so ultimately, when you put a creative treatment together, you put together what the concept is, and then you'll kind of put some lighting cues in there so they understand what the lighting is going to be. And then you put in some set design references. You kind of give them an overall look of what the performance will be. So they kind of just wanted to get what my point of view was. And I sent that through and went in for a second meeting, and they just wanted a little bit more information. And then within a couple of days, they asked me to join their team, and I was excited and absolutely shit scared at the same time.
Don't worry, I've done research on you. You're described as one of the most, the nicest working people in Australian musical theatre, just so that you know.
That's a hard thing. Silly. I think Aussies are all lovely, so that must be hard to be the loveliest.
We're just all walking around in Australia being super lovely to each other.
Hey, in my imaginary Aussie land, absolutely, you are.
Says the Aussie to the Canadian, exactly. Like, this is just a love fest up in here.
Okay, well then, can you tell us, possibly could we get a little sneak peek of what can we expect to see from your creative vision this season on The Voice? Just so everybody knows, it is launching May 24th in Australia.
Yeah, it is. Well, every year we try to elevate what we've already done. And each year we try to, I mean, I guess vocal stylings. I mean, we really try to bring to the table just different vocals, different types of artists, try to understand what Australia wants in their artists and try to produce, you know, that type of performer for them. But for this season, I mean, we've changed our blind audition set, which we kind of gave a sneak peek online a couple of days ago. So that was exciting. And for us who have been kind of working on the same set for a couple of years now, it was kind of nice to have a new set to play with and to be creative with. We have a few different types of rounds this year, which I won't tell you what they are yet because it's going to be a nice surprise. But I guess the format has changed slightly this year. We've introduced what's called the block. So the coaches can block.
Oh, I know the block.
Each other. Oh, yeah. It's very exciting. So little things like that. But ultimately, we're still going to be, you know, giving you what we usually do each year. But yeah, just elevating it and just trying to do the best we can to entertain the audiences of Australia.
Above and beyond, baby.
Above and beyond. And just kind of outdo ourselves as well. I mean, our team is fantastic. And we've got four people when we get to the live shows who are on our team, and we all come from different parts of the industry, and we all just try to elevate each other's work and really kind of just do the best we can.
That's all anybody can do, and you do it so well.
Okay, so you work in both commercial, dance, film and television, and theater. In your opinion, do you think there's a major difference in choreographing for film and television versus theater?
Massive difference.
Tell us about it.
I was really, really shocked because obviously I came from musical theater for, you know, such a long time, and, you know, choreographing things for the stage and choreographing things that you look at directly. So you do all your formations and all your elements for an audience who are watching front on. But when I got to the TV world, you choreograph for camera. So I kind of had to really switch the way I approach it and start kind of working out, because when I do choreograph for TV, I will think of what the camera plotting is first and how the cameras are going to move around the performance. So instead of choreographing it for people to watch from the front, I have to choreograph it for the cameras and for the people watching at home. So it's really working out what those cameras are first and then blocking the choreography to work for camera. So, and there's so many more things you can do choreographically for camera. I mean, if you watch anything filmed live, it's so fantastic seeing dancers on stage, you know, popping out in front of the camera, and it all just kind of looks like an absolute mess when you're watching it from, you know, in the studio. But watching it on TV, it's nice to kind of just really play and work out different camera tricks and camera angles, because, you know, you're not just watching it from the front. You do get to play a little bit, and you choreograph the camera as well. So you have another element that you get to choreograph as well, which is just really heightens the dance or the routine or the performance, which is a fun thing to play with.
Yeah, so fun.
That's cool.
It's awesome. Fun. It's thinking four-dimensionally as opposed to three-dimensionally.
Yeah. Speaking of that, do you have any advice for performers who primarily work in theater and are wanting to do a little more on-camera dancing or TV and film? Do you have any advice to throw their way then? What you're looking for?
Yes, I would say, I guess, research the creatives and choreographers who do work in that world and start taking those classes and start getting to know them and start trying to understand what they look for in their performance, because ultimately you get hired on the spot. There's not many, I mean, in Australia for us, there's not many auditions for that type of work. You just get hired off the books or based on your relationship or being in class and learning that style of that choreographer. Mm. So I guess that's a good place to start. And then I guess it's really kind of trying to understand how that world works, because it's so different to theater. But yeah, I think your first step should be trying to get to know those choreographers and learn those styles and get in front of them and, you know, really take that proactive approach, because, you know, once again, in Australia, there's never going to be that opportunity to be in an audition for them. Mm. So it's approaching it in a whole different way. And just, you really have to work on that type of style of dance separate to musical theater. You know, it's very laid back, it's very grounded, and it's just so different. So it's retraining your brain completely. And also if you really want to do that, and if you love that type of performance and that type of dance and that type of medium, then it should be super easy for you to find yourself a place in that world.
And pro about where we are right now is that so many people are taking classes online and then filming themselves, and you can watch yourself then and be like, okay, cool, what do I look like on film? What's a better angle maybe for something like this or whatever? You can always watch back now. That's not really a thing that you can always do in a studio space, and redo it and retry it and try to A, copy the style as much as you can and figure it out, and B, like, see how I look in this camera while I've been watching 30 Rock camera while I dance.
I absolutely agree with you. Like, there, you know, now we've got, you know, TikTok, and we've got, you know, your Instagrams, and people are filming their classes more, and people are starting to film their classes professionally. Like, you actually get to watch back and see what you look like on camera, because it's so different to watching yourself in a mirror. The camera catches so many different types of things. And it's fantastic. And you're so right. We have that social media world now where everyone's filming themselves and they get a better idea of what they look like on camera.
So take it, use it to your advantage, find that little look, serve a little
yes.
back.
Yes. Serve it, pop it, TikTok it.
Yeah, exactly. Give the camera life. Okay, so do you have advice for people who are interested in perhaps following a similar path to yourself, Mr. Jimmy Maxfield?
That's a tricky one because, as I said before, like all I ever wanted to do was get into a musical theater show. And once I did that, everything that followed was just a great little bonus. So I kind of, the thing that kind of has really driven me is that I just love every facet of my industry. And I'm just so curious. And I've always just wanted to learn as much as I can. So if you want to tick more boxes in this industry, then don't just focus on your strengths. You know, the strengths are a great foundation. And then really kind of harness your focus towards what your weaknesses are. And ultimately, it's just being really, really interested in more than just one facet, ultimately, and which is fantastic for, you know, performers that want to take just one road. And there's definitely enough work just to work in one sector of our industry. But I'm greedy, and I just want to be a part of, I really am a nerd when it comes to our industry. I just want to be a part of everything that our industry has to offer. And if you have that available inside of you, then you can tick all those boxes and work in all those parts of the industry, because that's, I mean, if you don't ask, you don't get. If you don't do, you won't book. Like, it's just, yeah.
Follow your curiosity.
Follow your curiosity.
Love that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then one final thing, just do you have an advice or a message to the theater community / arts community at this time in particular right now? It's a big one.
yeah.
It's a big one. And like, as soon as you ask that, like, it's so hard not to get emotional, because it's so unknown. It's just so uncertain. And, you know, we will come out of this. We don't know what it's going to look like at the other end, but we will come out of this. And my only advice for everyone who's going through this at the moment is be kind to yourself and look after your mental health as well. I think that's our most important thing at the moment. I mean, it's great that we can keep ourselves busy, but I think just be kind to yourself. And just, if you want to take it slow, take it slow. If you want to be busy, be busy. But don't force yourself to feel a certain way, because we really just have to try and understand what's happening at the moment. And we will get out of this, but right now, do what you need to do to survive. And that doesn't mean keeping yourself busy. If it means eating ice cream for breakfast and watching Netflix, you do that. You absolutely do that, because God knows I've been doing it.
Well, you look great, babes. I can't tell that you have ice cream for breakfast for the last 2 months. You look fantastic.
Well, you can only see, like, from, like, my chest up.
It's the snatchiest buff chest I've ever seen. Looking fierce and fat.
Yes. Ice cream.
Love.
Thank you so much, James. That was so
that's
lovely.
That's what we don't have time for, babe. Jimmy Maxfield, everyone. Hey!
Aussies. You have to do an Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. Oi, oi, oi.
Let's try it with a delay. Ready? Aussie, Aussie, Aussie.
Oi, oi, oi.
I'm so happy because you also naturally, it's like a catchphrase that's caught on, that everyone in Canada is now like, oh, what a bloody legend.
Oh, no way.
And so you and the people were like, oh, mate, he's such a legend, hey.
I know, you said it the first time and we were like.
Kyle was like, all the Canadian listeners are going to lose their minds. It's great.
Yes, I love that. It's so funny because we don't notice, we aren't aware of it.
I don't notice it's I like, say A.
Yeah, exactly.
Babe, that's all we need. Good
on you, Jimmy. What an absolute bloody legend. Thank you, thank you, thank you for coming on and chatting with us today. And of course, The Voice Australia has just launched their new season. So huge congratulations on that. And thanks for giving us the inside scoop. We absolutely loved it and loved hearing all about your perspective of choreographing for the camera. So clever. If you want to keep up with all things Jimmy, head on over to his Instagram. He's at Jimmy Maxi on Insta. He's got exciting things going on, so we are thrilled to watch everything you've got coming up. Jimmy, good on you. We will, of course, be posting all about him this week. And Kai and I are certainly keeping busy at the moment as well. So if you want to keep up with us, we're at Tits and Teeth Podcast on Insta. We're at Teeth Tits on Twitter. And our website is titsandteethpodcast.com. If you liked this pod and you feel so inclined, make sure you hit that subscribe button, tell a mate, give us a review, only if it's a good one, of course. And remember, whatever you're facing this week, legends, you're not alone. You absolutely got this. Keep those tits up, those teeth down. You got this, we got you, and we bloody love you.